You know, I thought it was important today to come out and speak on a few issues because we've had a barrage of news recently on several issues, and several of them were related specifically to me, so I thought it would be a good time right now to talk about those issues. And I've got some prepared remarks, so you have to kind of go with me here for about the next 10 minutes or so, and just from prepared remarks, but then afterwards, again, open it up to whatever anybody would like to ask a question. The media, talking about certain issues, the media has covered a lot of the issues, both print and on television and internet. And I think they've put points of truth in a lot of the things that I've stated and a lot of things that are going on. But I also think the media tends to embellish things with a little bit of their own bias. And I think it's important that we talk about these things because it is important for our community. And I want to be absolutely clear today that my words only reflect my opinion. And they do not reflect anybody else on the board. And I've never insinuated that, and I've never suggested that they do. I'm one out of five. The first key issue is about how the board works together, or maybe how we don't work together, and that we can't get anything done, and there's a lot of dissension. That's been talked about a lot. And I want to say, first of all, that I think it's very important that we understand that our job in public office is not just to agree with each other. Our first priority is to uphold the Constitution and protect the rights of the citizens. That's the absolute. We are then to be good stewards of the taxes that are paid to run the county. And I think many people would also think that only the state and the federal governments face serious issues worthy of debate. But I will tell you also that that's not true. There are serious issues at all levels of government, and they require serious debate. And I will tell you, they will be heated at times and they'll be passionate. And this is good for our community. This year started off with several issues relating to board organization matters. And they should have many citizens very concerned. The issue of removing the clerk from being under the authority of the Board of Supervisors to being under the authority of the county administrator was an affront to the balance of power in local government. And in addition, the current move to limit discussion and the ability to bring up issues that have been voted on in the past are a disturbing sign of limiting the voice of the public. And I'm very concerned about these issues. These issues need more serious consideration. And it is okay and it is healthy for us not to agree in unison on these issues. I would remind you that we are not a democracy. We are a representative republic, which has different connotations than just a majority rules. All right. We all have different points of view, and that is good, and we need to express them all. We all will then be held accountable to the voters for our point of view, and that's also a good thing. Now, my point of view has always been that we should run our government like we run our households. And we currently are not doing that in government today. We continue to spend money we do not have, and we engage in projects we cannot afford in the name of progress and better quality of life. So that's the first major issue, the dissension, the controversy within the board. It's healthy that we have discussion. It is okay. And it is happening, sure, and that's okay. It doesn't all need to go 5-0 or 4-1. Sometimes there are 3-2 votes, and there have been quite a few. The next major issue receiving a lot of attention is regarding ICLEI. A lot of people may know that acronym, but it stands for International Council for Local Environmental Initiatives. The word itself, or that little acronym, has the word international in it because it did start off as a global entity. And in fact, the key objective of the organization, in their own words, is to reduce the local community's contribution to global warming. Now, according to their executive summary, and these are all their words, their executive summary states that they will do this by creating an inventory of greenhouse gases and then implement policies, which mean rules and laws, and then monitor and verify results. Four supervisors, including myself, have voted to remove funding for ICLEI. This has created a firestorm for the believers of the theory of man-made global warming. And the media has not been totally truthful about this issue. The media continues to perpetuate the notion that those that oppose the theory of man-made global warming are against clean air and clean water. This is simply not true. It's very important to separate clean air, clean water issues from the theory of man-made global warming and organizations such as ICLEI. I personally do not believe in the theory of man-made global warming, and I have the right to my opinion, as do others. Climate temperatures have gone up and down over thousands of years, and it has nothing to do with the use of fossil fuels. I personally believe in a creator that has control over the seasons and the climates of the earth. On the real issue of clean air, clean water, I am a strong supporter, as most of us are. In fact, the state DEQ, Department of Environmental Quality, has been measuring air quality in Roanoke over the past 25 years or more, and air and water issues have been improving long before the county joined ICLEI. Those are the facts, and they can be checked. I cannot stress enough that the theory of man-made global warming and the issues of clean air, clean water are two very, very different issues. The global warming crowd, and that's supported in large part by the media, wants to say again that if you do not believe in their extreme views, you are for dirty air and dirty water. I look forward to removing ICLEI and RC Clear, which is the local group that helps support ICLEI, and replacing it with a responsible, fact-based citizens group with a very narrowly defined charter that will monitor clean air and clean water issues. In fact, I've met with local citizens, and we are working on this right now, and we'll bring it up in the near future at a work session. RC Clear, at a prior meeting, was given an opportunity to discuss what it stood for and what was their motivation, and they overwhelmingly stated that it was about climate change issues, not clean air, clean water. My final issue that has caused a little bit of stir is the recent Supreme Court decision that has allowed for more freedom in sectarian prayer in meetings, which basically means worshiping a specific God. Now, I've always been very forthright about being a Christian and believing strongly in the Christian heritage of our nation. And in fact, I find it surprising, the only monuments we seem to be tearing down are Christian monuments that is evidence of the fact that our heritage is Christian. We're not tearing down Muslim, Hindu, any atheist monuments. They're Christian monuments. That shows me that we were born in that heritage, and all the founding documents is overwhelmingly Christian. However, let me just put this point out. I think our current policy in Roanoke County is out of touch with the recent ruling from the Supreme Court. And our attorney is working on that. He's reviewing it. One particular item that I'll bring up in particular in our policy right now that we have references that those that come to pray should not mention the name of their deity too often. In addition, I don't think many people know this, that we are so intimidated by outside organizations that we actually pray before we officially start the meeting so that we don't get in trouble by anybody by actually having prayer in our meeting. This is no way to live in America. When I read the Constitution of the United States, it clearly states that Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Roanoke County has implemented this policy because we were afraid. We were afraid that we'd be sued by the Freedom From Religion group, which is a group in Wisconsin, because the makeup of our opening prayers was overtly Christian. However, that accurately reflects our community and it accurately reflects our heritage. I was recently asked what I thought now that the Supreme Court has spoken, and my response was what it's always been. We should remove any policy or rules or laws that we currently have and allow citizens to pray with liberty and freedom. The next question was whether I personally would invite a Hindu or Muslim or atheist. My answer is no, because it is not, and will not be consistent with my own Christian worldview. I look at prayer in our meetings as a time when we ask our Creator and our Lord to help us govern, I don't look at it as a showcase to the world about our tolerance of all the gods we worship. Now, let me say also, though, whether someone is invited to pray or chant at our meetings has nothing to do with whether they have freedom in America to worship. For example, because I have freedom of speech, does it mean that actually any of you need to come here to listen to me today? The media doesn't need to come and record it, but I still would have freedom of speech. I can say what I want to say. In addition, as it's always been the case, any supervisor can invite anyone they want to come and pray. We don't vote on it. We don't decide together. Anybody can do it. In fact, anybody can call the county administration office and say, hey, I want to come and pray. And they are welcome to come and pray. The question is whether I would invite them, and I have also freedom to say, no, I would not. Okay. No one in America, believe me, is being persecuted for their religious views. I think, again, the media tries to put that together, that if we're not accepting of everything, that it means we're persecuting. Go overseas and you'll see real persecution. Now, this issue is more than about individuals such as myself allowing others to have their own religious beliefs, because I think we all do, and we're okay with that. It is about forcing myself and others to accept and then to promote religious beliefs that are against our own faith and but a judgment. Our society does this with every issue, from homosexual marriage to abortion. We're not only asked to tolerate it, then we're asked to accept it, then we're asked to promote it, and then we're asked to pay for it. Finally, I'll close with this. I enjoy very much being on the Board of Supervisors, and I am very much looking forward to the next 4 years. I enjoy being able to ask questions that many in our community would like to ask. They may irritate staff or other board members, but that is my role. I'm here to ask questions and to learn. I'm honored to be the eyes and ears and voice of those I represent, and I look forward to doing what's best for our entire county. I am not ashamed of my Christian worldview and how that worldview shapes my thoughts and opinions and decisions on the board. It is who I am. And I look forward to opening up government to the people of our community, and that the people themselves will hold me accountable to do the right thing. I thank you for your time, and I'll take any questions I have or speak offline with anybody. Thank you very much.
One of the hang-ups now may be that we're a group other than a Christian
right.
would want to speak at the opening prayer. If you could speak to that,
yeah.
Because that would seem to sort of be counter to what the Supreme Court has ruled.
Right. Well, here's my thing. Again, I would not invite anybody, but then again, that's okay, right? The board, and as I stated in here, that all the supervisors, any of the supervisors, and I had made this suggestion because I thought it may help alleviate what you just said, is that let's say someone calls the county and says, hey, I want to pray, and they're denied. Well, why don't we then make it the supervisor's responsibility to go within their community and say, hey, pastor, I know you. I want to invite you to pray. Go to another pastor, invite to pray. And the community itself, and for instance, I'm in the Hollands. So in the Hollands district, I know lots of pastors, and I would go and ask them to come pray. Another representative, maybe here from Cave Spring or Catawba, could go invite an atheist, could go and invite somebody, and they really don't need our approval. They can come. They've come before. I've been in meetings before where we've had somebody that's not a Christian. That's fine. I don't have a problem. I go back to the point is I think what we're trying to do is say, Al Bedrosian, you need to invite him. Well, no, I don't. And I'm okay with that. It's not my responsibility. I should be able to invite who I want and let the representatives invite who they want. That doesn't mean that they will not be invited, right? Yeah, oh, absolutely. I mean, a Charlotte Moore, Butch Church, Joe, Jason, anybody can invite anybody they want. In fact, I've been in the meetings, and I've invited my pastor, and I've invited another pastor, I think, but the other pastors, I don't know who they are. They come in. Now, here's what the thing, and I think this is what is good, is that then the supervisors will be a little bit accountable to, wait a minute, what are you guys doing? And I think that's good, okay, because, again, I don't believe that our thing is a showcase for tolerance of every kind of activity that goes on in Roanoke County. That's not what we're about. Yes?
I'm sure this isn't what you're looking for, but I feel I must say.
Yeah.
I feel personally blessed out of my socks
Well, and I think, you know, I'm an elected representative. All I am is elected representative. And anybody in 4 years, okay, in 4 years, somebody can just say, well, we don't really like what you do. And I'm okay with that, too. I'm just an individual that brings my views to the board, and I do them in a manner that I think is consistent with what I believe, and I think very consistent with what the Constitution says. Yeah. Well, first of all, I'd remove any policy. I mean, right now we have policy, which to me has always been something I've never understood, because our Constitution says we shall not establish any laws referencing religion or the establishment thereof. So why is there a policy? What I would say is, if you want to pray, call, sign up, or whatever, however we figure it out, that's it. That's our policy.
That's part of the question, that how would people, for instance, if I am a Cave Spring resident, a pastor, whatever,
right,
is my go-to person any of the five supervisors, or is my go-to person my representative who I've elected?
Well, actually, I think the policy now, your go-to policy is actually to call our clerk. Now, I've only, you know, as long as I've been on the board, I actually called our clerk and said, I have my pastor who I'd like to come. So that's the way we did it, is ultimately I think it's going to go through the clerk. The clerk will say, yeah, okay, that's fine. We're signing people up. Now, I think also our policy, which I would disagree with, is that we have to go outside of Roanoke County. We've had people from Franklin, from the city. Why? We've got enough pastors and people in Roanoke County. Why do we have to feel like we have to be representative of, you know, every little thing? We're Roanoke County. It's okay. Are we okay with Roanoke County has lots of things out here in Roanoke County? Yeah. Go ahead.
In terms of supervisor accountability,
yes,
you've mentioned it before. Again, if I lived in Cave Spring,
right,
is it, under your idea, would Charlotte Moore be the person I go to? Or if I lived in Hollins, would you be the supervisor I go to if I want to?
You could. You could, but you can also go directly to the clerk, or you can maybe come to us. Now, here's what I'd say about accountability. Let's say that someone is invited that is just so off the wall. And this is what I'm talking about, accountability. And citizens around Roanoke County say, what was that? Why do we do that? Well, this representative invited them. And then I think you've got accountability that says, you know what? That kind of keeps us in line a little bit to say, wait a minute, guys, what are we doing? So that's the only reason I mentioned accountability. And if we just did it from the county, I think it would be perfect. We don't need to go outside. We can just have Roanoke County. If you're a Roanoke County citizen and you want to pray, you're a pastor in a Roanoke County church, yeah, call the clerk. If you want to, call your supervisor, and they'll contact the clerk, put you on the list. Now, I think we only have, correct me if I'm wrong, I think we have 22 days of board meetings. So it's not like every pastor in Roanoke County is going to pray, you know, so I would think as a board member, you know, I wanted my pastor to pray. Maybe that's preferential treatment, maybe not, I don't know. But I invited my pastor, and he prayed. Yeah.
Now, you scored on the Hickley, but are you afraid that you're going to wind up being seen as tilting at a lot of windmills and losing a lot of 4-1 or 3-2 votes, and maybe some people saying, well, he's this year's Ed Ellsberg? Are you afraid of that?
Well, no, I don't know. Well, I don't know what Hickley has to do with the windmills. And this is what I try to always separate. Energy sources is a whole other issue. We got energy sources. We have the theory of man-made global warming. It's a theory, guys. It isn't conclusive science, and it shows because it's evolved. Over 20 years, we went from global warming, then we went cooling first, then global warming, then climate change. I got it, and I'm okay with theories. I'm okay with looking and trying to figure out what it is that's causing it. But I think the issue that I have with Hickley, and if once Hickley is removed, all we're removing is a force on the board that says we are going to mandates of global warming. We're reducing carbon emissions because we believe that we're warming the planet, human beings. I don't believe it. Now, windmills.
I mean, in general. When I say windmills, I mean like Don Quixote, where you're bringing up issues that you're always losing on votes.
Okay, I was thinking you're talking about energy issues. See, that to me doesn't really mean anything, because the reality is, what's right and what's wrong? When I came in, Hickley is here. Hickley, again, has nothing to do with being in government. It should not. It should be removed. We need people that are interested in clean air, clean water issues, not people that are convinced that if we drive what we drive, if we live in our homes and we want nice air conditioning and nice heat, that we are somehow affecting the planet and we're going to make it so warm that no one can live. I think that's the problem I've always had with ICLEI is that that is theory and people's ideology. Remove that to time. It shouldn't be in our policy.
I'm not really talking about ICLEI, though. I'm just talking about it in general.
Okay.
Even the Plantation Road beautification issue, where you're going to bring up issues and you're going to lose a lot of votes, 3-2 or 4-1. Does that bother you that you might be seen as someone bringing up issues for the exercise but really not getting anywhere?
Well, no. In fact, I wish we would in our country do it a lot more. We've got a $17 trillion federal debt over all people. We've had people, they're all nice congressmen, nice senators. No one ever complains, but we've got a $17 trillion debt. We go into the state, and the state budget is ballooning. We come to the county, and we had a $200 million debt that's now come down a little bit, but again, will balloon up to $200 million. I think we need to forget about what people think their people will think about them. I think we need to start doing the right thing, which says smaller government, do things that need to be done. And again, I have an opinion, and that's I was hired with this same opinion. I haven't changed my opinions at all. I was hired to do this job that says look at something. Plantation Road project. We've got a project now, a Plantation Road, that's going to cost $7 million. Whenever you ask about it, everybody says, well, yeah, but, you know, a lot of it's grant money and federal funds and VDOT. Okay, so what? Does that not mean it's money? I mean, are we printing? Where are we getting that money? It's tax dollars. $1 million or so, I think, is the county money. And what happens, I find, on any of these projects is we start off with something that is absolutely good. I think on Plantation Road, I'll be very specific, we start off with a traffic light. Because people need to cross the street. And if you've ever been up on Plantation Road, it is very difficult. We wanted a traffic light and a pedestrian crossing. My estimates, and I'm just pulling this out of the blue, was that it's maybe $500,000. Well, once we got that, well, then VDOT, every other group in the world comes in, and they find their little pocket, and now we're at $7 million. Vinton Library, same case. We start off at $1 million renovation project. $1 million to renovate Vinton Library. I'm fine. What is it today? It's a $8 to $10 million new building, new land, new everything. And that's the problem I have is we just do these things, and we've still got $180 million debt overhead. We've got a very high real estate tax rate. And I'm thinking, guys, what are we doing? So that's the common sense I want to bring to government.